This is the interview with Dina Lovachev on November 29th, and this is tape two, side one. Go ahead, you were talking about the birthday party.
They decided we're going to have shish kebab, so my oldest daughter says we'll come home the week before and we'll make the shish kebab and have them, you know, some for us, some for all the... My granddaughter wanted some. She lives in Maryland Heights. So we're all here together making shish kebab here. I guess we made probably about 60 pounds of them. We bought the meat and cut it and seasoned it, and then we got together and we're putting them together and wrapping them like six to a package. And I kept some for me, and my daughter from Jefferson City kept some for her, and the daughter in Edwardsville kept some for her, and then we're going to cook some for the birthday, and they were all going to come home for Charlie's birthday then the following week. And my daughter said, would you make potato salad? And I said, yes. And my son and daughter-in-law from Deerfield were coming home for Charlie's birthday, and the day of the birthday, they wanted me to keep Charlie here because my oldest daughter was going to go over there and help her get things ready for the birthday. Well, it turned out to be a surprise party for me, which, I mean, I was totally, totally surprised because I didn't dream that they were doing this. So Charlie and I celebrate our birthdays together.
How fun.
It was fun, and most of my family was there, and it was fun. We had a good time, but they really pulled it off.
So your shish kebab is known throughout the region.
Yes, yeah. And if we had some of the sauce left, he would put pork steaks in the sauce and have the shish kebab flavored pork steaks. But none of it was cooked. You had to cook your own, either in the oven or on the grill. Or yeah, we didn't have facilities really to cook it. But our shish kebabs were pretty famous.
So you described the grocery as a mom and pop place, but it also sounds like it was a specialty shop in some ways.
Well, in some ways, because we had a lot of specialty items. But it basically was a mom and pop store. You know, it was just... It looked big to us, but it really wasn't. I don't know how to tell you how big it was.
But you had a clientele that included people from in the neighborhood, but outside of the neighborhood also.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. A lot of our customers were from this area that came.
Were they people who had formerly lived in the neighborhood?
Not necessarily. It was our meat. Brought a lot of our customers, and you know, they would come, like, say, pick up meat and then pick up a few more things, and then eventually did most of their shopping there. It was hard to compete with the supermarkets, though, because, of course, you know, they buy on larger volumes and could sell cheaper. But the business was pretty good. Supported my in-laws, us, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. So, you know, we didn't become rich, but it supported us.
Right. Did you offer credit to people?
Yes, we did have credit business.
Mm-hmm. And was that mainly for people in the neighborhood or, again, all over?
All over. And when the mill paid, that was payday, and, you know, some ran monthly bills, some ran every 2 weeks, some didn't pay at all.
Hopefully not too many of those.
More than I'm wanting to admit to, but especially when we closed the store, a lot of them, you know, said they would pay, but they didn't, and you just write it off.
Mm-hmm. So your main competition were supermarkets outside of the neighborhood.
Yes, at first, like I say, there was Kirchhoff's were across the street, but when they closed, then we got a lot of their customers. Then there was another store on the corner, which was called Mitziv's. But actually, they had their own customers, and I don't think that that was, I don't want to say too much competition. It's just that they already had their customers. And then there was another one in the middle of the block. There were three grocery stores, four within an area. Ours was here, Kirchhoff's was here. Nellie Vartan was in the middle of the block, and then Mitziv's was on the next corner. Oh, and there was a fifth one, too, Stoyanov's, which was like two doors away from Mitziv's. Gosh.
This is Norma's mother drew this map. But,
okay.
Yeah, so here.
All right, here's our store, Kirchhoff's, Mitziv's, Stoyanov's, and then Vartan's was right here.
It is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering how, if each of you drew different people in the neighborhood, or how people in the neighborhood
basically
picked where they shopped.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it was, this was ours. It was, Kirchhoff's later, and then they moved here. Maley's Confectionery, that's where Kirchhoff's store was. Maley's, my sister-in-law and my father-in-law left that building to them. And I don't even know if they still own that building now. And this was years ago, the Busy Bee Bakery was down there, Barton's. Yeah, this is pretty good. This fire, it did not include, actually the fire was oceans. The fire was more here.
This block between Walnut and Chestnut?
Yeah. It was not here. It was here. Artist Cleaners was here. It was across from Artists. Now, this is way before my time. Matosian's Barbershop was there. Duke's. I want to say the fire was from here to here.
So from Matosian's across.
Yeah, it did not burn Matosian's. There was a big building here, which was probably the Colef building. And there was see, she's got Abe's Tavern here, and I think that was here because that burned.
The fire was early 50s, right?
It was 1954.
Okay.
September, I believe, of 1954. Well, that was scary. We thought all of Lincoln Place was going to go.
What started the fire?
I don't know. But if it hadn't been for the fire department from the depot, I think more Lincoln Place would have burned. I mean, the Grand City Fire Department came out, but these buildings were old, and boy, they burned. And the depot fire department really saved Lincoln Place.
Most of the buildings along Niedringhaus are brick, aren't they?
Ours is frame.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have gone up, right, really easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple of brick buildings, but now across the street where Kirchhoff's built theirs, theirs was brick. Nellie's was brick. And this, it was a hotel and a tavern, that was brick. But, relatives. I think that was framed. Yeah, this Abe's Tavern, Abe's, that was up here. That was one of them that burned.
Okay. So she's got
But she's got pretty good here. Yeah, the bakery was on the corner. Actually, it was in the same building, I think, as the cleaners at different times. So I don't think they were together, but...
Okay, so she'll be up mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, but the grocery store, like we're saying, everybody kind of had their own customers. So they all the grocery stores did well for the small area that it was. And gosh, Nellie, she was in business until just a few years ago.
That's Bartons.
Bartons. And actually, I guess she was the last one to close. Mm. Because Mitzvah's closed. Did they close before us? I can't remember. No. Steinhoff's closed before us, I know that. I can't remember about Mitzvah's. Of course, Kirchhoff's closed, but yeah. And that made it rough for the older people that lived down there because they would have to go to downtown, and a lot of them didn't have cars or didn't drive or whatever. So I know that they were hurting when, you know, these small stores closed, but had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Were these other businesses like yours, mostly family run?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Utef's, he was a widower and had one daughter, and I think someone's going to be interviewing them soon. Her husband's name is Todorov, Nick mm-hmm. Todorov, Nick and Nora Todorov.
Yes.
And of course, the tavern was family-owned. Mitzvah's was family-owned. This was family-owned. Yeah, these were all. This was family. Nellie. Sammy's Tavern, that was family. Busy Bee Bakery was down there, and then they moved to Madison, and they were in business up until last year.
Hmm.
Heroians, they had a confectionery, and oh, the kids loved it. It was right the front porch of their house, and gosh, Mrs. Heroian would get neat candies. And Sims Pool Hall had a confectionery, and oh, the kids, you know, we had candies, but they loved either going to Miss Heroian's or to Sims to buy their candies, because that was really a neat place to go.
Uh-huh. They had a better selection of candies?
I guess they did. It was different, you know. Well, we mostly had candy bars, not so much penny candies. And, and Kokoski's dry goods store. Gosh, it's interesting. She had dry goods, materials by the yard.
Mm.
It was just a little place. She had a lot of neat things in there, too.
So did you do most of your shopping in the neighborhood?
Well, not necessarily. There wasn't anything there when we were, we had our shoes repaired there. Went to Artist Cleaners, and they just closed. Went to the barber shop. We would go in Miss Kokoski's just to see what she had, but then we would go downtown Granite, use the Frisco's service station for our gas, the kids all went to the Baptist mission. From the time they were like 3, 4. In fact, Todorovs just came back from Florida and visited the ladies that ran the Baptist mission.
Oh, how wonderful.
They was it last year they came up here? There were two, there was two of them, Vivian, Miss Wilson and Miss Diaz. Vivian Wilson and Sarah Diaz, they're like 78 and 80 now. But they were so good with the kids. Now, there was somebody, they had a mission there before, and I don't know who took care of it, but when my kids were growing up, these two women were Baptist missionaries that ran this little mission, and they would have church, and they would have, what did it belong to? There were a couple of little girl things. I can remember them with their little crowns and rainbow girls, were they called, or something. But they both came, and some of the kids that went to the mission got together a little, sent out invitations, and at the senior citizen hall had a little gathering, a little get together, and they showed movies, and we all visited with them and had pictures. It was very nice. But Nick and Nora have remained friends with them, and when they go down to Florida, which they do frequently, they visit with them, and they were down there just over the Thanksgiving holidays and visited with them. So they were very happy to see them.
That's wonderful. I know that in the, let me see, I have dates here somewhere, but the stamping works closed in the 50s, and then the Commonwealth closed in the 70s. Did the plant closings have an impact on the neighborhood and on your business?
I can't say that it really did. You know, people had to eat. Because I'm sure most of the people that worked there got jobs elsewhere. I can't say that we really noticed much of an impact. A lot of the people worked at the depot. Because when it was going full, it was quite a busy place.
So by the post-war years, the people who worked in the neighborhood weren't just working at the plants as they had been earlier, but there was more diversity in where they worked.
I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like the neighborhood changed during the period you were living there?
Not the early years. I think the neighborhood started changing mid-70s maybe. A lot of the older people were dying off, and some of the younger people were moving out to this part of town, and it started changing then. When we were there and the kids were growing up, I think there was more pride in the neighborhood. The people took care of their properties more and all. And there's still a lot of them that are still living down there, actually. And there's a couple of blocks in Lincoln Place that, to me, have gone down. Chestnut. Spruce Street is still pretty nice, and most of Maple is pretty nice. Poplar is next. Yeah, it was starting to change.
And you think that change was due to older people dying and younger people moving?
And I think most of them were renting then. It wasn't their property, so, you know, they weren't taking as good of...
Mm-hmm.
The Mexican people just, they took real good care of their property. I mean, a lot of the foreigners did, but the Mexican people were colorful. They always had pretty flowers and things in their yards, and their houses were painted nice, and... But when some of the younger people start moving in and didn't own the properties, they didn't take as good a care of
mm-hmm.
the property.
Mm-hmm. Were the properties being held on to by the old families even when they moved out to other areas, or were they being bought up by people who were didn't live in the neighborhood, who were then renting them out? I'm just wondering why it switched from owner occupied to rent to rental properties more.
I don't think that right off I can't think of anyone that moved out that kept their property and rented. I think they sold the property and like when the Todorovs moved, actually their building was eventually torn down because it was an older building. So many of these buildings are gone now. This building here is gone. Now, this place, Sims, the guy that bought it, can't think of his name, but totally remodeled it. Has a nice beauty shop there now, Planet Granite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that building looks quite nice
from
the outside.
They say it's beautiful on the inside. And I understand he's really trying to keep Lincoln Place cleaned up, and, you know, would go out, pick up cans that were thrown on the street or clean the gutters and everything. I think there's still some people down there that are still taking pride in it. In this block, where her store was, there were a couple little houses, and this one woman bought the property and made a little tea room there now.
Right. So.
And that's very
that
nice.
That tea room is where Bartans used to be, or Bartons.
Bartons. Actually, the building that occupies the tea room is right next door to what Barton's was.
Okay.
It was a house.
Yeah, it looks, on that block, it looks like a lot of it has, that they're empty lots.
Yes.
Where there used to be buildings.
Yes. And it's a nice, it's a cute little place. I've
mm-hmm.
been there a couple of times. Actually, I think Niedring House is, they're trying to keep it pretty nice, but there were some not so nice houses down there.
On Chestnut.
Chestnut.
Mm-hmm. When you first moved there, were were there differences in the blocks, the way that there are now, that some blocks were in better shape than others, or that some blocks had more renters than others?
When I moved there, it was I think still everything was pretty nice. There were a lot of the old families were still there. It was probably in the 60s, and mid-60s maybe, when I don't know. Maybe there were more rental places down here. Now see, I didn't know too many of the people that lived down here. I knew one or two of the families that lived on Walnut. But mostly Olive and Maple and Spruces were, well, popular. But, I don't know.
Okay.
But when we first got married and lived down there, most of it was still pretty nice. That's why it's kind of hard to go down there and see our old building. You know, you get rid of it, but you still want it to be taken care of. You don't like to go down there and see it deteriorating like it is. And as far as I know, there's nobody in it. I don't know if they ever rented out any of the rooms, but I knew they did have a grocery store. It was a Mexican. It was called I think there's a store. They have a couple of stores in St. Louis, and they opened one here. I can't remember what the name of it was, but they weren't there very long.
Is that the Tropicana?
Tropicana.
Okay.
That's it. And it, I guess, just didn't go. And then it just, nothing else was ever put in there.
How are you doing? Do you need to take a break, or are you all right?
I'm fine.
Okay. Well, I had a couple more kind of topics that I wanted.
Okay. Should we have some more coffee?
Sure. Great.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess she's lived there all her life, so I don't know what year she was thinking about. Uh-huh. And some of this is obviously that she's remembering different times.
Sure. And then the Veranian, the Good Neighbor Tavern. And this was a little small ethnic restaurant, Fossils. He used to cook stews and things, you know.
I was surprised when you said that there were still rumors in your in-laws' building, because I guess in my head I thought that it was mainly earlier, before World War II, that there had been roommate houses.
They were, but especially where we had our apartment, on the other side, over here, there was a man in this corner place, a corner room, and then there was another Hungarian man that lived here. And then there were two more rooms. And eventually, after everybody moved out, they became just junk rooms. You know, they were empty rooms, so we'd put whatever in there. And my husband was a junk collector. And when after he passed away, and it was really difficult trying to get rid of so many of these things that he had. And at first, my kid, you know, when he was collecting, oh, they just couldn't see all the junk that their dad collected. But they've each got things in their house now, in their houses, that they thought was pretty neat that their dad had. And so they've, like, he had some graniteware that was made at the Stamping Works, and each of them have some of that. And the older my daughter gets, the more, just a month ago, she was looking through some more pictures and had pictures copied. But she has pictures of the different parts of people in the family, and the buildings, and her kids are getting older, and they're getting more interested in things like that too. So I think they'll enjoy listening to this.
Yes, I imagine.
I can remember when my granddaughter was the oldest one. She was in probably in high school, and for one of her classes, she interviewed me about my growing up years, and you know, just something on this art, but on a much smaller scale. It was just a short time.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of her classes, and so she learned some things then, but I think they would like to hear, especially some of the other stories that are told too.
Right. Yeah, I find that with my students, that they're always interested in interviewing family members.
Mm-hmm.
And that it personalizes history in a way that
yes.
they find so much more interesting than
mm-hmm.
reading the textbooks or
really?
Whatever. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. What was it like raising a family in Lincoln Place?
It was great. I wish there were more places like Lincoln Place that you could raise your family. The kids all knew each other. They had no, if the kids were Mexican or if they were Hungarian or whatever, they were friends. They were just good friends. And they all stuck up for each other. They played well together. It was a good blend. I think that made the kids all more rounded. I think it was a very good place to raise kids. The clubhouse then too was like a melting pot. They all went there, they all played together, they all shared everything. You knew who your kids played with, you knew their families. You never worried about the kids. I wish there were more places like that now.
What do you think made Lincoln Place like that?
Being all different from different ethnic groups, I think, starting way back, everybody was on the same level, for one thing. Everybody worked either factory or there was that common thread there. Everybody was in the same boat and just raised the same way, I guess. But it was a good place to raise kids.
Now your oldest daughter and your son were born during what they call the baby boom.
The 50s.
So were there a lot of other children their age around?
Excuse me. Were there other kids
age?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of kids. There were quite a few kids in the neighborhood then, their age. I'd say yes. Mm-hmm. The baby boomers. It sounds mm-hmm. funny, but that's what they are.
They are.
People, I guess, older than you that we've interviewed who grew up in the neighborhood talk about the sense that Lincoln Place was the other side of the tracks. Did you have that sense that when you were there?
Not so much. I think, like, when my husband and his sisters were going to school, I think there was that. I think once the depot opened up and people were working there, I don't think it was so much the other side of the tracks then. But I know when my husband and them were growing up, there was some, what do I want to call it? You know, they worked on the other side of the tracks. And then there was West Granite, where the kids went to grade school at Washington School, which is no longer there. There, too, there was the dividing line, you know, these kids were from West Granite and these kids were from Lincoln Place. But eventually that kind of melted together, too. I think probably the depot was responsible for making it more, well, it's not so bad down there, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel any of that. I think when I first got married, for maybe a year, I don't want to say I was considered an outsider, but I was from Madison. I wasn't one of them. But when I started working in the store and started knowing more of the people and all, then there was no problem. I mean, I think they all felt like I did, that I was one of them. Because, you know, we became friends with all of them down there, and they were a close-knit group of people. So once we lived together and, you know, they'd come to the store. And, you know, if we weren't busy, people would stand at the store at the counter and we'd visit. You know, we had a coffee pot in the back room, and if someone wanted a coffee, we'd get them a cup of coffee. And if it wasn't busy and you could stand, I mean, there was work to be done, but we had time to have a cup of coffee and talk a little bit. So, but yeah, when the kids were in school, that was definitely the other side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm. Did you have particular friends in the neighborhood?
Well, yeah, there were probably two or three couples that we would either go out with, or there for a while we would go to each other's houses and maybe play cards. But that didn't last very long. I guess because we always took our kids too, my husband and I, my mother-in-law was very good about taking care of our kids. We would go out and eat like once a month or something, go out somewhere nice. But most of the time we would probably take our kids with us. But yeah, there were two or three families that we coupled with. Mm-hmm. But we were friendly with everybody, you know. I can't say that there was no one that we didn't like. We got along with most of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine, as you know, having a business, that you probably knew so many people in the neighborhood.
And right. And even if they weren't customers, they were still friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if they chose to go to another store, that was fine, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most of us got along.
Was there a business, any kind of business owners association? You mentioned the Associated Grocers and the being in that association with other grocery store owners in Granite, but in the neighborhood, was there anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Now, the guys did have the Lincoln Athletic Club, LACs, and there was like a social thing, and they would, there was mostly the men would go and have a meeting, or I don't really don't know. My husband belonged to it for a little while, and they would meet, somewhere down in here, I can't remember, there was a little, I don't think it was at the tavern, it might have been at Good Neighbor Tavern. But I don't think so. I think it was another little empty building that they would meet in. And in fact, I think they're still kind of semi-active because they just had a, at the high school, they put up a sign, a new sign in memory of Andy Phillip, who was the whiz kid mm-hmm. on the basketball team. And they had a little program. And the LACs donated money toward this sign. So I don't know if they actually still have meetings or if maybe they still just have a bank account and, you know, I'm not sure how that operates. But the men would get together and they would do a lot of things for the kids.
Organized programs.
Organized
programs.
Well, like maybe, if they needed something, I think, like for school or something, they would help them out, like adopt a little boy or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but they were good for the neighborhood, and the men enjoyed it.
And I saw that you were in the Macedonian-Hungarian Ladies Association for a while.
The, not the Hungarian, Macedonian Ladies Society.
I have this. This is their, it's a bad copy of their, their 50th.
Yeah.
Anniversary.
Actually, I didn't even attend the meetings. I paid my dues and I would go to there. But, you know, when we worked, it was hard to get away mm-hmm. from the store.
I imagine.
But, yeah. And I had my picture taken with him.
Yep, you're in here.
Oh, boy. This was what, in 75?
I think that's what it says, yes.
Let's see, my mother-in-law was gone by then. This is my mother-in-law's sister, and she's gone now too. This is Tamea Kirchhoff, and this is her daughter.
Klyschev, is that?
Klyschev.
Klyschev. Mm-hmm.
So many of these people are gone now.
Did the, I think I saw that your business, that the market donated money to sponsor the program or something. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure.
Did you end up doing a lot of that kind of stuff?
Pretty much so. We had a couple of baseball teams that we sponsored. And,
yeah.
And,
like little league teams?
Yeah. We had a bowling team for a while, and actually it was I bowled, and the girl from Emmett's Market bowled, and the group that we associated with, you know, the AG Grocers, there were several of us that bowled together. That was fun. But yeah, you'd they'd call and say, we need a sponsor, or could you donate money for uniforms? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, so whenever we could, we did.
Well, and it looks like a lot of people did that, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is mostly for the church, though, I guess. Yeah, for the 50th anniversary, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't actually very active in that association?
No, no. Like I say, my mother-in-law belonged to it, and then she thought that I should, and mm-hmm. I went to a couple of meetings, but mostly it was just too hard to get away from the store. And at that time, I didn't drive, and I would always, I would have to have somebody take me. And so I paid my dues and would go to the social events, mm-hmm. which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they actually met outside of the neighborhood?
They usually met at the church on 13th and Grand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wanted to have you tell me a little about your church.
Well, I belong to the church.